Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Vanessa and Gallant continues on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Hey, 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 happy Friday. I'm Vanessa Richardson. He is Paul Gallant. Sean Mapes behind the glass for us, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Of course, you can stream us on the ESPN app or you can watch us on Twitch. You look disgruntled.
Well, yeah, I don't know why there's like a warm 2 liter, a Dr. Pepper Zero behind me. I'm just wondering why
is
this
it old?
Is in the studio. I mean, put it in the fridge, right? I mean,
clean up after yourself, guys.
Someone going to have warm soda later on today? And by the way, I see a Chick-fil-A cup behind me. It's a foam one. It says Cody S on it. Cody, let's clean up here, bro.
Calling out our friends on The Wheelhouse on ESPN 97.5.
The Wheelhouse, the Blitz, the Bench.
So we were talking about the stupid rules that teams have and that the Yankees have. Somebody put, because the Yankees can't grow facial hair, said, poor Marine on Twitch said, I hate the Yankees, but the part about staying presentable is a good thing. I beg to differ. Myself and many other ladies are team beard.
Okay. Well, so, first off, just kidding. I think
to get my friends in here.
HR. I get what you're saying, though, poor Marine, in that, yeah, being presentable is something that you should do on a regular basis. I think a lot of us, especially when we go to the airport, we just totally schlep it up. I get it, being comfortable. But you're out in public. Don't you want to at least look somewhat presentable? I'm not saying you need to wear a suit like it's
the
1950s or something
like it's
that.
Mad Men.
But I am of that mindset that, yeah, being presentable, that's cool. But that's not what...
That's nothing to do with the beard.
That's not what your foundation should be built upon, though. Because it's not just that. It's the hair, too. It's like everything. They want
people need to focus on cleanliness. Having washed clothes, washing their face,
showering,
deodorant.
I did shower today.
So. Yeah, good job. Proud of you.
Thank you.
All right, so the Astros taking on the Mariners. That begins tonight, and then this is the last series before we have baseball at Minute Maid Park. So excited.
Longest road trip of the year.
Yeah, long time.
That's nice that that's not going to take as long for us to see them in action again. And obviously things were supposed to be different because we were supposed to have a Yankee series one of the first 2 weekends
the
of the year. Which I'm not going to lie, it still pisses me off that that's not happening.
That would have been a good series. And there's a lot of hatred and animosity there, which, sorry, makes sports kind of fun.
Yeah, you ain't kidding. I mean, I don't get why they couldn't just push the whole season, you know, back 2 weeks. I want to have seen a Yankee series. We'll see if like the Mariners can actually turn into a rival of the Astros, but until otherwise proven, they are the complete underdogs going into it. Because the Astros have beaten the Mariners like a drum for a long time. Like, I remember my last year here, the Astros were 18-1 against Seattle over the course of a year. I mean, just think about that. That's insane.
I mean, that's been the narrative with the Astros for a while with Seattle. The Astros' bats not hot so far. We're only 6 games into the season. But the pitching has looked really great. This in spite of Lance McCullers Jr. having that injury. Still no timetable on when he'll be back. Fromber struggled a little bit. But overall, the pitching has looked good.
The pitching's been great. The pitching, and this was, I think, from Michael Schwab on Twitter. Their starters and relievers have a combined ERA of 1.69, which leads the majors. 6-game sample size, we're not talking a lot, but they have had extended work, the bullpen in particular, and I think that's been surprising thus far. And I wonder about a couple of things because, too, they have been somewhat struggling at the plate. They're hitting home runs. Mm-hmm. I think they're second in baseball in home runs right now, the Astros. But it has been a bit of a slow offensive start. Jose Altuve, I guess, was asked about it after their loss to the Diamondbacks on Wednesday, and he said, I think this is our 6th game. We've won 4. Next question, when asked about the slow offensive start, I guess my question is, do you think that the pitching is going to continue to be on this level or you have to pick one of these two, or is the offense going to continue to have a slow start?
I would say the pitching gives out before the offense.
I do too.
I think the Astros offensively, regardless of who's on the roster, the past, 4 or 5 years have just been able to get it together
when
it matters.
Like without Carlos Correa.
Even when guys are injured. Even when last year when Alex Bregman's in a slump. Even when Carlos Correa was in a slump. Even when, like, fill in the blank, the Astros, even if they get in slumps, get it done offensively.
Yeah. Even when Jordan Alvarez has the Scottsdale flu, you're feeling really good about it. I'm just kidding. I don't think he has the Scottsdale
Paul
flu.
Paul has had the Scottsdale flu.
I did have the Scottsdale flu. That was fun. I was driving down from Seattle through Houston to come back, and I stopped in Scottsdale, and I didn't get on the road the next day until 1 o'clock.
Paul is going to stay away from Scottsdale and the Phoenix area.
No, I'm not.
Or else he's going to end up with a wife 15 years his junior whose face is Botoxed up and has
Botoxed
a little
up later,
chihuahua.
Right?
And
why chihuahua? No, ew, I hate chihuahuas.
Yeah, you won't hate anything.
No, I will hate a chihuahua.
Little Bailey spelled L-E-I-G-H.
You think the dog will be called? Oh, wait, no, the girl will be called Bailey. Yeah, that's very funny. You're probably right. Like with two Ys at the end. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Paul's going to be like, how did I get here? All of the signs were there.
The chihuahua's not happening, though. No. I hope that my cat would eat the chihuahua.
A lot of people have been asking me about my skincare routine.
Listen, if she has good skin, that's great. Then she doesn't need the Botox that you're just putting on her already. Like, maybe
and
she doesn't need it.
And the fake blonde hair and the influencer.
It doesn't have to be blonde. Oh, my God. You're being so mean. You're stereotyping my sexual preferences.
I get along with everybody.
This is dog whistling. Right? Did I get it right?
The gaslighting. Am I being toxic, Paul?
Yeah, definitely.
Am I being toxic? You're listening to Vanessa and Glott, ESPN at 97.5 and 92.5. I'm looking forward to the Astros beginning their season because, fun fact, I've never been through a full regular season in Houston.
Oh,
so I moved here for my job with the NBC affiliate here in town in August of 2019.
Okay, so right for the stretch run.
So, yeah, I mean, so obviously they were in the middle of the season and that ended up being a super fun one. They go to the World Series against the Nationals. So 2019, I was here for the stretch, the last part of the season. 2020, COVID. 2021, we're in Texas, so let's be honest, the reduced capacity was only for a month and a half, but still technically not a full season, and certainly not when they're on the road a full season. So this is my first full regular season of Astros fun.
Slamming it.
And
slamming
I am very
table.
Excited.
How many games do you think you'll go to this year?
Oh, I mean, I'll go. That's a good question. I do go to every Texan, so I guess percentage-wise, I can't say it'll be more. I don't know. I mean, I'll try to hit like at least one every other series.
Okay.
The tickets are super. I will say this, and we can get media passes, whatever. But even if I just go with friends to have a couple beers and watch,
it's a lot.
The Astros do a good job of keeping things reasonable, and the games are fun.
It's been a while since I've been.
But I also will spend money
as a fan. I mean,
for fun experiences, like trying to sound like I'm like really deep or whatever. I'll spend money for experiences more than I'll spend money for like. I don't own like designer handbags, but I'll go on a fun trip or go to a game and get a good ticket or whatever.
See, that's smart. I'm with you. And as someone who like has realized I need to stop buying clothes, I've stopped buying clothes. I haven't bought new clothes in 4 months. How about that, Paul? You're making progress.
Now is that out of necessity?
Well, I don't need anymore. That's the problem. Yeah. I have so many. But I want to go to a lot of games this year. I had a good time going to Mariners games last season, but there were annoying things that you had to do. Like you had to do the masks, even though it was outdoors, which made no sense to me.
Hashtag politics. Dog whistling, am I right?
I guess so. Yeah, you ain't kidding. But I'm pumped because I feel like they've done a fantastic job of just giving you all the food here. I think Houston's food selection, even if they don't have the best donuts in the United States of America, I think Houston's food selection is second to none in the United States. I think it blows everyone out of the water. You have amazing Asian food. You have amazing...
is this Houston Cajun in general
food,
or at the game?
Mexican food. At the game, they bring it. I'm pumped, Vanessa, because I saw that they were actually putting out flyers for hiring people to work at the El Tiempos that are now going to be in Minute Maid Park.
Oh, yum.
This is the key. Are they going to be able, and I don't know the answer to this, are they going to be able to do margaritas? Like, are they going to give you margaritas? And especially if they're El Tiempo's margaritas, which
those
knock you out after two.
Like incredible.
Those, good
and
luck
if you're me after one.
After one?
Yeah, I'm a lightweight.
Listen, it's actually.
I don't drink that much. Honest to God, I don't drink that much. So it's okay. I'm already a lightweight. And then the fact that I probably haven't drank in 3 weeks.
Every time that I go to El Tiempo,
yeah,
I just always shudder at how much the margarita bill is going to be at the very end. We go way too much.
That's true.
But I'm pumped that there's going to be El Tiempo at the ballpark.
Should be fun, and we are certainly looking forward to it. We'll be bringing you, of course, all the Astros coverage and chatting about them throughout the season.
You know what else is going to be fun?
What? What's going to be fun, Paul?
There's going to be a fight! It's on Saturday, and it's on Showtime! It's the Unified Welterweight World Championship, 8 o'clock on pay-per-view. It's going to be Errol Spence. It's going to be Jordanas Ugas, and guess what? It's taking place up in Arlington. I mean, you could drive all the way up to fake Dallas. But what you should do is get it on Showtime pay-per-view, where you've got two guys who've been coming at the title with the eye of the tiger for a long, long time. Spence was in a car accident in 2019, and then he fought Danny Garcia in 2020, who was supposed to fight Manny Pacquiao. Broke his eyeball bone. Ow! So then you got to see, instead of Spence, it ended up, why are you laughing, Vanessa? I'm excited. Jordanas Ugas stepped in, and he beat Manny Pacquiao. Now they're going to fight. So you want to watch this fight again Saturday, 8 o'clock on Showtime pay-per-view. Order now.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. Listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Paul, did you find your water?
I did. I found my water.
Where was it?
It was in the water room.
Oh.
Not the bathroom, the room with the water.
Oh, okay.
What is that, the break room?
Yeah, the break room.
The coffee room that sometimes has coffee?
Yeah, it has good coffee. We have decent coffee here, but I get Starbucks every morning.
not a Starbucks guy.
Starbucks is actually not great. Like, most local coffee shops are much better than Starbucks.
You know, I agree with you. And the thing that I hated the most about the many things that happened to me in the wake of Chill Dog was the assumption that I was upset that, like, Starbucks underneath me had been destroyed. Because they, like, assumed that I went there. A bunch of people were like, yeah, you must miss your Starbucks, you basic bro. And I was like, no, I make my own coffee every single morning. I don't need Starbucks. That was the most, like, people assuming my politics.
Oh, because Starbucks is in Seattle.
Yeah.
Were you above the original one?
No. Okay. Oh, no. And by the way, the original one is not the original one. And if you're one of those people
Wait,
who goes.
Explain.
And, it's actually the second one. So there's one that's in Pike Place Market that's on the water. And I thought it was hilarious that people were going outside and, like, taking pictures outside of the original Starbucks.
Oh.
It is just like every other Starbucks. And it's not even the original Starbucks. And I remember I was going around, like, with David Attenborough voice. It's like, here we have the basic woman trying to gather clout, taking a picture outside to perhaps secure a mate.
Also, no offense to anybody that's done it,
but why
take a picture in front of the original of a chain? Like, I worked at two different Outback steakhouses, and if I found the Outback, I wouldn't be like, oh, my God, I served so many Bloomin' Onions back in the day. Oh, my God.
I think I would, though, because I love Outback Steakhouse. It's been too long since I've been to one.
Can I tell you what I used to do?
You've told it before. Tell it again.
I would take the brown bread and dip it in ranch or bloom sauce.
I thought you just ate all the brown bread. You dipped it in ranch.
Yeah, either ranch or bloom and onion sauce. I would eat an entire loaf every shift that booty was.
Listen, that's fine.
It was, I mean, I, it, when I stopped working
Bread's
at Outback
red.
Steakhouse, I lost a significant amount of weight.
The worst part of getting older is that
you can't
eat
do
as
that
much
anymore.
Bread.
Nope.
I miss eating bread. Bread's my favorite.
And I would go to, the other thing is those Texas Roadhouse rolls. Man, I would devour them. All right, AFC South. A lot of chatter around the AFC South today because the Colts did add a defensive piece. They had said that they wanted more defensive pieces, and they added Stephon Gilmore.
I mean, they traded Rocky Sin. This is also a deal that's not very expensive. And
2 years.
I don't know what it was that led to New England just saying, all right, we're done here with Stephon Gilmore. Because if I'm not mistaken, played all right last year with Carolina after they traded him over there. I think this is a good move by Indy.
It's a a great move. And the where Chris Ballard deserves credit. Now, I think that at some points, you could argue at the beginning he was overhyped. Where he deserves credit is he somehow managed to win the Carson Wentz deal after that disaster.
I mean, he still traded first round pick.
He did. But, and then this is a solid addition to a team that needed a couple of strong defensive pieces.
He landed the plane after the turbulence of Carson Wentz, which I'll give you credit and give him credit in that, yes, that to step out of that and to get another quarterback in Matt Ryan, too, who you feel pretty okay about at the very least. You don't feel bad. You're basically like, all right, we bought a lottery ticket for this season. But this is a good move because I think Stephon Gilmore still has some good football left in him. And I'm surprised that he was on the open market as long as he was. Maybe it finally took this moment, waiting as long as he did, for him to realize, I'm not going to ever get the big contract that the Patriots of all teams gave me a couple of years ago.
When you look at the AFC South, I do think it's intriguing. Now, it gets overshadowed by all of the other AFC teams. But when you look at the AFC South, I'm excited to see Trevor Lawrence with Doug Peterson. Do I think they're going to go out and win 9 games? No. But now that Trevor Lawrence is going to be in that second year, he is a functional coach.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that the Titans are going to do anything too sexy. I don't know where Derrick Henry's health is going to be, but I am excited to see the Jags. And then I would love for us to get back to a point to where we're excited for Texans-Colts games. And that's not even because I'm from Indiana as much as I do like that interdivision rivalry.
I like those games because I always will hate the Colts.
Yeah, have always, respect.
Always will. And you should always hate the Patriots.
Totally.
Right. And I think most Texans fans also feel that same way about the Colts, given the one-sided nature of that rivalry, which even existed in years where Peyton Manning's head wasn't on his shoulders anymore. You know? I mean, they lost the Texans at the end of the 2011 season to that Colts team still boggles my mind. How? How did they lose to that one?
It will be interesting to see who can win the division, though.
I feel like if I've got to pick anybody, that right now I'm picking Indy.
Yeah, I mean, I'm picking Indy, too, but I do want to see it competitive. And I think that, look, like, what happens if Derrick Henry goes back to being vintage Derrick Henry? I don't know that that will happen.
Ryan Tannehill's not going back to being Ryan Tannehill.
Right.
Like, the Titans missed the boat by not getting a quarterback this
offseason. Do you remember last year when they were, like, going into the season, like super, like people were talking about them maybe going to the Super Bowl?
Yes. These morons. I mean, I'm sorry. If you thought that team was going anywhere with Ryan Tannehill under center, then you're just clueless. You don't watch football. I know a lot of the analytics community too was like, well, look what he's done the last 2 years. Yeah, he had Arthur Smith with him and his offensive coordinator left. You assume it's going to continue. You should assume it's going to stop. And it did stop. And now they're going into next year with Tannehill. I think it's a massive failure on their part that they didn't upgrade the quarterback position this offseason. And maybe they draft somebody. They should draft somebody, honestly, with one of those picks
that
they have.
You think this year they do?
You have to.
He's getting so old.
No, it's just he's not good. He is an average placeholder. And last year, he cost you. You were good. You were deep. You had everything going for you. You lost to the AFC champions eventually, and you sacked Joe Burrow 10 times in that game. You should have won that game, but Ryan Tannehill threw 3 interceptions. That's why you lost. And they rolled into this year with him again. To me, it's just stupid malpractice on John Robinson's part. You had to upgrade that position and to roll it back this year. Why is it going to be different? The best run you had was when you upset a couple of teams on the way to the AFC Championship game. Before you upset the Patriots, you upset the Ravens before you eventually met your maker because you went up against a team with a good quarterback. What are the Titans doing rolling into this season with Ryan Tannehill? I don't get it.
It doesn't matter who wins the AFC South, because when you look at who else is in the AFC, I mean, the road to the AFC Championship is unbelievable.
Right. I mean,
credit to Aaron Rodgers for staying in the NFC almost for that reason.
I don't want to get... I don't want to dog whistle myself here, but this is a third world division when it comes to quarterbacks. See, that's kind of coded language, could be interpreted as offensive, right? So, right?
Paul's going to get us canceled on Good Friday.
So, bad Friday for me. I feel like the AFC South, compared to all these other ones, is like, you know, operating with sticks and stones and like some sort of like post-nuclear apocalyptic society where you don't have Deshaun Watson and you don't have Andrew Luck and you don't have all these other quarterbacks who were in the division at one point in time. And then the other divisions, I mean, the AFC East has Josh Allen, and at least Mac Jones is better than anybody in the AFC South. Although we'll see with Matt Ryan, I guess. The AFC West, every team has a quarterback. The AFC North, much better. You're operating with sticks and stones in this division, and it's going to be curious to see if one of these teams that's at the bottom, like the Texans or Jaguars, could actually be annoying enough to get 5-6 wins, maybe, and hold one of either the Colts or the Titans back from potentially winning that division.
The gap is always, for certain teams, is always small. Last year with the Colts, they lose to the Raiders and the Jags, and they're out of the playoffs.
Right. The Jaguars beat the Colts. Yeah. I mean, that game in particular.
And that's the definition of annoying, because the Jags had no chance to do anything in the playoffs and were able to knock off the Colts.
And they were trying to tank, too.
So that does, so that does make things interesting when you look at terms of AFC
South. They
did
it for Urban Meyer. They wanted to honor him.
they wanted to give him a nice kick on the way out.
Yeah, although he was out already. That's true.
Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, a certain former NFL head coach talks about how much he liked Tom Brady, which we know Paul Gallant's Lord and Savior on Easter weekend.
On Good
Plus,
Friday, but
can college football survive
whatever
the NIL trend? That's next.
This is Ed Tuttle Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Vanessa and Gallant continues on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, Vanessa, Paul, Sean Mapes is behind the glass for us, and we are taking you through this Good Friday. Thank you so much for listening. This is a weekend to celebrate Lord and Savior, which for a lot of us is Jesus Christ. For some of us is Tom Brady.
Thank you for respecting my religion on this Good Friday.
I hate it, but I respect it.
Look, I obviously say it tongue-in-cheek. Tom Brady, though, is someone that a lot of people missed on.
Yeah, and you hear the over-exaggeration like Bill Polian, who's like, I banged my fist on the table.
I hate Bill Polian.
Yeah, there's a lot that I could do the deep dive. I will not do the deep dive.
I will just say he ruined the NFL with the five-yard contact thing because his receivers couldn't get off five-yard jams, and then they lost the next year and scored even fewer points after they had a rule put in place by Bill Polian's run competition committee. But Bill Polian is somebody who said he had a first-round draft grade. Yeah. On Tom Brady. And we've seen other people say, like, oh, yeah, well, we would have drafted Tom Brady. But we actually had, like, kind of honest, seemingly realistic thinking back on what could have been moment from one Sean Payton.
Yeah, I like Sean personally. I know Sean, and I think he was a great coach. And he's, like, to me, is pretty honest about things like this. So he wasn't
Vanessa
dramatic about it.
Yeah. Just kidding.
Hey, you know, I haven't seen the movie. I can't do Kevin James.
Well, I mean, all you have to do is get on a Segway and, like, fall on your face. It's impersonating
Wait, did
Kevin
you see
James.
It?
No, but Kevin James is a physical actor. I mean, what is Paul Blart? Yeah,
that scene in Hitch is funny, though, with Will Smith.
Oh, no
where
doubt.
He's teaching him how to dance.
Look.
That is funny, Kevin James.
I got no problem with Kevin James, but to impersonate Kevin James, like, just, I don't know, be hefty and throw yourself at a wall.
I'm always going to wonder why they cast Sean Payton as him, or him as Sean Payton.
Well, Sean Payton's he's getting a little thicker.
No, not Kevin James thick. Yeah, Sean's like, no, Sean Mapes, our producer. Okay, but anyway, Sean Payton was on Chris Long's Greenlight podcast.
Good podcast, and, by the way. I highly recommend it. I love Chris Long.
Sean Payton said he did try to convince New York to draft Brady, who, of course, wound up being selected 199th overall. Payton was in his first year as OC. His agent, Don Yee, asked him to speak to a client he had just signed. The client was Brady. And Sean said Don would call him and see if he liked clients, et cetera, et cetera. And but Sean said that he was very impressed with Tom Brady and, you know, with his draft ability.
Said he thought, like, maybe he was like a third or fourth round kind
of player. Yeah, he rated third or fourth. He graded him late third or early fourth and said he didn't, quote, have enough pull in the Giants front office to go to bat for him.
It's one of those tricky things, too, where what do you do if you like somebody, especially where he's a mid-round pick that you like?
Right.
Because these teams, they put valuations on players and they want to wait as long as they possibly can to pick some of these guys. My thought on Brady coming out of Michigan was, I remember the Orange Bowl comeback victory that he had against Alabama. And I remembered when the Patriots drafted him, I was like, oh, that's cool. You know, but that's all I had as a thought. And there was this other guy on the Patriots. And I don't know how many of you guys remember this guy. This is going way back. There was a quarterback for Kansas State named Michael Bishop.
Okay.
This dude was fun. He was fast. He was big. He could move. He had a cannon for an arm. And I remember one game, I think it was actually against the Colts back in 1999. He came in to throw a Hail Mary at halftime, and it was actually a touchdown. And the next day, I think he like came into the stadium. He did a bunch of flips coming out of the tunnel. He was super cool. And I was like, Michael Bishop, yeah! And I didn't want Bishop to ever get cut. I thought Bishop maybe was the future if Bledsoe got hurt. And then they cut Michael Bishop for Tom Brady, and I was so pissed. And like I'll remember, there's been so many moments early on in my life where I doubted Tom Brady.
So you didn't start out as a believer. You had to come around to the religion.
I'm like Simon Peter, right? Like I denied him multiple times, and then eventually I was like, no, I'm all in. I'm all in, baby.
Yeah, I like that story, and I like that he's realistic, unlike Bill Polian and others. Hindsight's 20/20, but Tom Brady is one that you do see a lot of people try to act like they just quote unquote saw something in him.
There was, I think it was the Eagles who said a couple of weeks ago about Russell Wilson. They said, we wish we'd drafted him. That is what you should say.
Right.
Instead
right,
of saying, right. Yeah, I had a first round grade on it. Oh, we would have, but you know, we were okay already. Well, how about just say, yeah, we wish we had him. Like that.
Fake Tony Stark on Twitch says Michael Bishop is from Willis.
I didn't know that.
Fun fact.
If Michael Bishop, if you're out there, if you're listening right now, seriously, like I'm still like I was going to buy a number 7 Patriots jersey with Michael Bishop on it. Bishop was my guy. Used to create a team or create a player in Madden, and I'd create like a souped up version of Michael Bishop, and I would just clock people with him, just run all over them and stuff. It's great.
Young, angry Paul.
Hell yeah.
Is that you brought up this, and I like this question. Is the current state of football sustainable? We all know what happened with NIL. It came in hot. You have players making $1 million literally before they've even played a down of college football.
Yeah, it's something that Nick Saban spoke up about yesterday. And I thought the reaction was interesting because what he said is 100% right. He said the concept of name, image, and likeness was for players to be able to use their name, image, and likeness to create opportunities for themselves. That's what it was. So last year on our team, our guys probably made as much or more than anybody in the country. But that creates a situation where you can basically buy players. Mm-hmm. You can do it in recruiting. I mean, if that's what we want college football to be, I don't know. And you can also get players in the transfer portal to see if they can get more someplace else so they can get at your place. So the write-up that I saw this in was basically saying, oh, Nick Saban is whining about the rules that give him an advantage. No, I think he actually is looking at the big picture of college football and is realizing what a lot of people should be realizing is that it is turning into a sport where it is just a few teams that actually matter. And look, it's not always about that for college football. The pageantry and going to a game is a lot of fun. Beating a rival is awesome. But do people care about getting to bowl games anymore?
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that's sort of been lost. Like, they're... wasn't much balance of power in college football as it was. Now there's even less, and we're losing appreciation for simple things like wins over a rival, making a bowl game. Mm-hmm. The college football playoff, I think, is actually bad for the sport. I think that the BCS actually, in a way, was better because the Rose Bowl used to be cool. You know, it used to be a big deal between the West Coast and the Big Ten. Some of these other bowls, too, like, hey, you didn't make it to the national title, but the game that you play against somebody else, it does have some meaning, and now... we have subtracted meaning from everything, and if you are not playing for one of these superpowers and paying guys a ton of money, like, what is the point? Are you – you're still going to have some interest, but I think as a whole, it's gotten worse, college football. So I think Saban's right here.
He's – I mean, he's 100% right. And here's the thing. You don't have to like that he's right, but when he says that you can basically pay for players, 100%. There's all this talk about building your own brand. Right. So you get some guys have a marketing agent and then a player agent before they even turn 19. And that's okay. Certainly, I think it was a broken system where schools could make millions of dollars off of somebody's name, image, likeness, their jersey, whatever. And then some of these kids' moms were working 3 jobs. Broken system. Mm-hmm. But we are at the point now to where it's getting overcorrected. Winning doesn't matter. It's all about the brand. And the fact that Saban is saying this tells you that it's the truth, because he could say nothing. He could shut up and his team would probably continue to win.
Top of your head, is there a fix? How do you
No, not
stop
right now.
This? I don't see a way to
I
stop
mean, because
it.
If you put a cap on how much guys and gals can make, because there are women that are, you know, volleyball players, basketball players that are making a lot of money as well. If you put a cap on that, then people are going to view that as unethical.
Exactly. Right. And that would be this. That is a good idea to level the playing field, is to put out like some sort of NIL cap where you can only give out a set amount of money. But at the same time, it just goes against every single concept of capitalism in our country. And
right.
There's only a few moments for a lot of these players and athletes. And I would specifically point to female athletes who are doing things like, say, gymnastics or volleyball. Like, you have 4 years where your profile is going to be at its highest, and if you want to be able to do things on the side, then that's the only time you're really going to be able to do it. After that, you're probably going to be completely forgotten.
And most of, like, I remember I did a story last year on a University of Houston volleyball player who was, she was the ambassador for, like, a board game, which sounds weird. She got the game for free.
What game?
I don't remember what it was, but it was, like, a percentage of the sales from this game, and it wasn't a board game. It was like half volleyball, half basketball. It was like one of those interesting games. But the point is, she's not making that much money off of it. She got a percentage of the sales that came through her like Instagram bio. And I remember her telling me in this interview, it like helped her buy books. It helped her pay off. Like, it's way more of that than it is these $1 million deals for guys, if that makes sense. It's way more of people like a swimmer making money off of goggles promotion than somebody making $1 million. But what makes the headlines is guys making $1 million.
And the idea that Bryce Young was getting $1 million in endorsements for 1 year or something like that, which who knows if that's actually true or if it's being hammed up as some sort of pro-Alabama propaganda. But some of the other things Saban brought up too is something that you're sort of seeing right now in the NCAA tournament. And you know what? Good for everybody at St. Peter's who is able to take advantage of that opportunity and monetize it elsewhere, whether it's the coach who got a job somewhere else or
at his alma mater.
Or it's what's-his-face, the guy with the mustache who is going off to another school. But now, say you're one of these schools that's not very good, you're essentially a minor league team. And if all of a sudden you're awesome at one school and have a career year, you can stay at that team. But wouldn't you rather transfer, if there's a transfer portal now, transfer to a school that's actually going to pay you more, that's going to give you more opportunities?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's it's turning into this just messy system of no contracts. And it's weird, too, to see guys enter the transfer portal that never even get picked up, too.
Can we just go back to the days where donors were sliding a couple $100 bills after practices?
Why do we have to slide?
I mean, good old days.
But I guess the governor was, hey, you have to slide it. You can't do something.
And it happened everywhere.
Yeah. I mean, shoot, Kansas won a national title, and they're under investigation right now in basketball. Like, it does happen everywhere. And we used to think it was so wrong. Now we don't even care about it anymore. But
what Kelvin Sampson did in Indiana would not even raise red flags
here. No, it wouldn't.
Coming up on Vanessa and Glant, we finish it out with some garbage time. That's next.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map. Welcome back to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Every breath you take. I usually hate remakes, but this one was a good one.
I like the original version better.
Oh, no, me too, but this was a good... I'm just saying it was a good remake.
But it's a song about a stalker.
It's kind of weird.
Right? There's a couple of songs that I really like. But when you think about it, they're very creepy. It's Every Breath You Take by The Police, and it's Follow You Down by the Gin Blossoms.
Everywhere you go,
I'll follow you down. I'll follow you down, but not that
Wait,
hard.
Wait, what's that song about?
Stalking, clearly.
Oh.
Well, I mean, read the lyrics. Everywhere you go, I'll follow you down.
Yeah.
If you change the tone of how he sings it, like he sings it in like this cute little melody, but what if you said like, everywhere you go, I'll follow you down. Sounds like Batman, like saying something to some villain
there
who's about to escape
songs
Gotham.
That are actually creepy on Goliath.com. Every Breath You Take comes in actually at number one. Wrong Way by Sublime, number two. Yeah, a lot of these, One Way or Another by Blondie was another one that she actually wrote about a stalker. One Way or Another, because she was being stalked.
I didn't know that was a song about stalking.
Blondie,
I just never thought about it.
Frontwoman Debbie Harry wrote the song from the perspective of an ex-boyfriend who had been stalking her.
Wow.
I'm gonna get you, get you, get you, get you.
Holy crap, that is a creepy ass song.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Hello by Lionel Richie is listed as creepy, but I...
Is it me you're looking for?
I love that song. I'm on Fire by Bruce Springsteen. No way, that's creepy.
I could never understand what he was saying
hey,
in that song.
Hey, little girl, is your daddy home? Did he go and leave you all alone? Oh, I like that song. Not creepy. Sports writers love
Elvis
Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah, thank you. I like Bruce Springsteen. He's good, but I'm not a big fan of that song.
Yeah, I like that one. It's nice and chill. All right, it's time for our Garbage Time segment, which next week we'll have some music attached to it. But we start with the Patrick Beverley rant. Sometimes brands can get a little bit ridiculous on Twitter. Corny, not funny. This was good by Bud Light. They tweeted Pat Beverley and said, hey, at PatBev21, say the word and we'll have these waiting for you in the post-win pressers. And it's a can of Bud Light, but instead of Bud Light, it says Bev Light. And at the end, it says, take the ass home.
I buy that. And I don't even like Bud Light. I would buy that as a symbolic can, and I would put it up on my mantle. I would like to have this can, so I hope that Bud Light actually makes it. I would buy it. But if you're in the war of Burr, I am firmly Team Miller Lite.
Oh, you're a Miller Lite guy.
Big time Miller
Lite. I like Mick Ultra.
Mick Ultra's, you know.
But I'm not like a huge drinker anymore.
Did you know that Miller Lite only has one more calorie than Mick Ultra?
Really?
But a lot more flavor. Does Paul work for Miller? I don't know.
I did that.
Investors, possibly you.
I Selfie. Was on that.
Hello.
I was on that Natty Ice train in college because it was so cheap. And in hindsight.
Natty, Keystone Light was the Syracuse go-to, though. We definitely had a lot of Natty. The worst was Red Dog. Red Dog tasted like vomit. And I don't know if this is something that people were able to get down here. I know a lot of people, of course, are Lone Star people.
Mm-hmm.
A couple other good ones. Rainier up in Seattle, Lone Star-esque. A good one that maybe not a lot of people have had, but it's fantastic, Tall Boy. You ever had a Montucky?
Mm-mm.
From Montana. It's very good.
Corona's good with the lime. Corona Mexican beer.
No, Pacifico.
You're a Pacifico guy.
Oh, yeah. The table that I have made of bottle caps, it's essentially all...
You are so Syracuse.
Pacifico and... Why am I so Syracuse? What does that even mean?
A little table made of bottle caps.
I'm sorry, I'm artsy
little
and crafty.
Fratty.
It looks awesome.
I'm sure it does. Actually, I'm sure it does.
It has a couple of rings of Pacifico and it has a couple of rings of Shiner as well.
You brought up a good question.
What's that?
Who is the superior musical talent among two superstars?
Yeah, that's true because we have two hot singles being released on the streets.
I had not heard either one of these. Thank you to @GallantSays for bringing this up.
If you're my age, you probably liked Amanda Bynes growing up. First off, because she was on All That on Nickelodeon. She had The Amanda Show. But
she had like 5 years of just glory in movies and TV.
Right. She was in a bunch of movies. She was like the antagonist in Easy A. Mm-hmm. But she was also in that What a Girl Wants movie.
What a Girl Wants.
Where she dresses up as a boy to go play soccer. Or something like that, and pretends that she's like got a twin, whatever the case. She went off the deep end hard. Like, you think Lindsay Lohan was bad? Like, she really went off the deep end. And I don't know all the specifics about it, but I know that she had a conservatorship. So she's been released.
Like Britney.
Right. So her conservatorship ended, and this was the first thing she did after getting out of the conservatorship. It was release a rap song, and this is what it sounded like.
Diamonds on my neck, on my wrist. Diamonds on my fish, yeah, I'll whip. Diamonds on my neck, on my wrist. Diamonds on my fish, yeah, I'll whip.
Yeah, I'll wear. So that's what? That's the Amanda Bynes version of this rap song.
She's had some mental health issues.
Diamond, that I guess she has been, that she created with, I believe, her significant other.
Help.
I think that
SOS.
That look, it's a nice first step as a rap song. You should probably, you know, like get better for the next song that you release.
Not the most complex rhyme scheme, I'll say.
Yeah,
fish and wish.
Oh, wait, yeah. Why does she want her fish to have diamonds?
I think because it just rhymes with I wish. I'm not sure if there's any meeting.
I think Sean Mayer's behind the glass. You're right. There's not a lot going on there. The rest of the song, not so much. Jussie Smollett. How about that?
A man with integrity.
Well, he also released the song. And I mean, this song, he tells the truth. Like, he tells his side of the story. Finally, you know, the time where he faked his own assault for clout, I guess. Here's Jussie. That's his actual name.
Like they held me. You're not solving a crime. Taking out the elements of race and trans and homophobia that start taking lives. But turn around and act like I'm the one that killed the strides. Maybe we stick together. Maybe we read more. Instead of saying it's above me now. Brother, you sure? I can't be mad. Take my ego out. Some people searching for fame. Some people chasing that clout. Just remember this. This ain't that situation. You think I'm stupid enough to keep my reputation. Just simply to look like a victim, like it's something fun. I better look at someone else. You're the wrong one.
We do think you're stupid enough to do that to your reputation.
It's been proven that he did all of that. So what is he arguing? Why is he saying this is an ego thing? It has been proven that he paid two African men to cut out magazine clippings like they do in the old mystery movies and put threatening letters in the mail and then, quote unquote, rob him. And like, it's not even up for debate. Like, it happened.
Well, that's what you think. That's what the liberal media is telling you, Vanessa. I got to say, the best part about that song is that someone is echoing the lyrics that he is saying in the background. And it's like just the same lyrics, but they're saying it like, I didn't defend hate crime. Like, if you heard it in the background, it's just, and it's, you can't even hear what his lyrics are because of the actual audio in the background of, which I hope is also Jussie Smollett. I can't get over the fact that his name is Jussie.
Yeah, his sister actually was the one that was more talented. She was on Full House and all of that.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, his sister was, I think, a lot better.
He was on Power, right?
I don't. Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
I've never been.
He was
impressed.
On Empire.
Empire. My bad.
Billions. Succession. Name of TV show. Insert it here. Meanwhile, Floyd Mayweather says he's going to pay an NFL team. He's willing to put up the money, $20 million, if it signs Antonio Brown and it doesn't work out. This is how desperate Antonio Brown is to land somewhere, is that he has friends like Floyd Mayweather offering $20 million. Is there any NFL team that will take another chance on Antonio Brown? Because I think once you can't make it work with Tom Brady and then you strip in the middle of a game, it's a no-go, right?
He's a crazy person. No, I know we're supposed to be sympathetic to mental health. Nah, he can go kick rocks. Like that guy's done so many things over the course of his career. At what
point? And they're not all mental health related. Come on.
Well,
now,
that's a,
right?
it's a you know what? It's a shield. It can be used as a shield these days. And some people are like, oh, he needs help. No. Literally bleep him. He sucks. He's terrible. Did you see also, there was a story yesterday where I guess Floyd Mayweather's daughter, this happened in Houston. She stabbed somebody.
What?
Who was like seeing like who was also like hanging out with her significant other, who is this rapper by the name, like I don't even remember, but it's like, wow, that's a name. She's not gonna face any serious charges.
Must be nice.
Must be nice to be Floyd Mayweather's kid and have all the money to pay off legal fees.
Meanwhile, via Fox 26 News in Houston, a Klein ISD high school teacher is in big trouble after he played a pornographic video on a classroom projector. Apparently, the teacher was watching that obscene video on his work laptop and then accidentally shared it over the projector. It happened at Klein Collins High School.
This is why you never, ever, ever
no
watch that stuff on your work stuff. You got to have a separate device for it or something.
It's too easy nowadays.
Right. I mean, That's really weird that you're watching it at school, though. I'm assuming that he was.
And on a work laptop, they can trace everything you do.
Yeah.
That's why I will never understand people that use a work phone and then also use it for personal reasons or a work laptop for personal reasons unless you're completely clean.
You can't. I mean, it's not like, assuming you're doing it for innocuous personal reasons, okay, fine.
Well, but, right, like you're on your Facebook, who cares?
Yeah, but this is nuts. But all right, Klein Collins High School. That
shout out
to
Klein Collins, nice national story. I'm a professional baby namer, says a woman in the New York Post. You put this in there, and I love this story. Rich parents pay this woman $10,000 to find a name for their child. Taylor Humphrey, 33 years old, helped name more than 100 babies in 2020.
Well, he can go. I hate him. Screw you.
It's a girl, but.
Screw her. He, her.
You don't
they,
like
them,
people that get rich or famous
care.
Quickly.
15, a professional baby namer? This is like, what are your qualifications?
People that go viral.
God, I hate rich people too. Like the rich people paying for this just have such outrageous bleep you money that they're going to pay someone to name their kid.
To come up with
do it yourself,
a
losers.
Crazy name. All right, we're wrapping up on a Friday. Vanessa and Gallant. I'm Vanessa Richardson. He's Paul Gallant. Thank you, Sean Mapes, for producing for us today. The Killer Bee is up next.
Peace.
And act like I'm the one that caved the strides. Maybe we stick together. Maybe we read more of these. Instead of saying it's above me now. Brother, you sure?
You sure?
ESPN 97.5.